Today I have chosen the title for this message as Doers of the Word. And before we go to James's epistle, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Again, a familiar passage which is both instructive as well as sobering. Matthew 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now on to James chapter 1. After Hebrews is James before Peter, near the end of the Bible. James chapter 1, that passage has been read, except I want to read two extra verses, 17 and 18. James 1, 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, he beget us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. Let us pause for a moment and think of the gift of speech. A great gift. How sad to be dumb. I mean, literally dumb. And I had a patient, a lady of about 40, and she was totally dumb. And how to tell me about her symptoms, she brought along her daughter, because by all these years of association, the daughter was able to understand her sign language, her lip reading, and so on. But that dear lady could not speak like we can. You ever thank God for this gift of speech? That with this facility, we can articulate words that make sense. Not words that pour out without sense. Tongue, so-called. Dear friends, thank God that we have this intelligible speech. The gift of God. And these words that come out of our mouth must communicate something. It must not be senseless or useless words. And these words coming out of a Christian must always glorify the giver of the gift. Right? Can you pause and ponder this statement? God gave me this gift of speech. What for? That I may be able to communicate good things. The things of God. Whatever God gives to me, treasure in my heart, as we read there, out of the good treasure of the heart, comes forth words. How is your speech? Are they edifying to the hearers and glorifying to God? This must ever be foremost in our minds whenever we speak. James 1:18 says, of his own will, God beget us, gave us new life with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. What does this mean? Here the apostle is impressing on us the importance of words. Don't say words are not important. They are very important. Every word is important. Now, verse 18 says, God, by His own will, took action and gave you a new life. Begat you. Meaning what? Begotten means to be born. We are begotten by the word of truth. Born again. True? Very much so. The day I heard the gospel of truth and it came to me, I knew at once. Whereas I, without that word, I won't know. You too. The word says, the law of God shows very clearly you are a sinner. I am a sinner. Then the word of God says, there is a Savior, a way out. God the Son has come. That is gospel. And He died for you. Believe in Him. Look to Him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so you too look to Him. For there is life in the look. Now, when you did that, what happened? Verse 18. Of His own will He begat you with that word of truth. That now you are a new person, aren't you? Of course. If you are not a Christian, you are not a new person. You are the same old person. But a Christian has been made a new person. So this verse says, you should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You should be a sample. First fruits, that tree is bearing fruits. And the first one to come out are the believers out of the tree of life that God has put His life into you, as it were, you are fruit. Now every believer must be a sample of the Christian life, Christ's life. Right? That being so, whatever we say and speak must reflect the inner life. It cannot be otherwise. As we read there, out of the treasure of the heart, whatever you think here, whatever you store inside your heart, it comes out as words. What words are you saying every day? Thank God for this gift. Verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift, whether in speaking or in singing, some are gifted with voices that can sing. Don't say, well, I got special training, and therefore I can sing. If God were to take away the vocal cords, He can't even croak. Finish. God gives us a voice to speak, to sing, to pray, to witness, to say words for Him, that these words go out as a message from God. You see, what a wonderful gift. Verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift, and the one who can use his lips and his tongue to speak good words for the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a perfect man. Perfect man. One who will not use the words senselessly, thoughtlessly, carelessly, no, but very guardedly. Why? I am a child of God. Whatever I speak must glorify my Heavenly Father. You are a perfect man. Verse 17. Your good gift, your perfect gift, is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now we all must learn to use this tongue correctly. Right? You agree? Of course. Nobody will disagree. But to do is not easy. This is a problem. I have a friend who says, I'm automatic. As soon as anything hits me, I speak out right away. Sometimes he speaks faster than he thinks. Then he says, my, I said the wrong thing. Too bad. You know how fast a word goes out? You know the speed? Almost 1,000 miles an hour. Yeah. Oh, is it 1,000 miles a minute? I don't know. I've forgotten, but it's very fast. And a word that leaves your mouth is very hard. Impossible to retrieve. Impossible. And one word wrongly spoken may require 1,000 words to mend it, to make up. You offend your friend. He won't forgive you. You've got to beg 1,000 words. Very hard. So we must guard against the use of the tongue
To say I want to say the right thing is easy, but to say the right thing is not easy.
What must we do?
God who gave you this gift also gives you the instructions, the directions, right? You buy a Sony radio. It also comes with directions. Say how to tune, how to use, right? You got the gift of speech and God gives you directions. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, God has given you the gift of speech. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, we got 2 years. Do you ever stop and think? Why is it God gave 2 years? One mouth, one tongue. God did not give anybody 2 tongues and 1 year. Ah, that is a divine wisdom. Did you ever realize that? Why 2 years? 2 years to hear better. 2 years to hear twice before you speak once with your mouth. This is the golden rule to the perfect man. God has given us this 2 years so that you can do what he says for you to do. Verse 19. Be swift to hear, ready to hear, ever ready, but be slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to get angry. Some people say, I got a short fuse. I don't know what that means, but they say they get angry very fast. But this verse says no good. It does you no good, and it does the hearers no good. So why short fuse? Forget it. Slow to wrath, slow to get angry. Listen carefully, whatever people say. But more important is, listen carefully what God says. God has given you 2 years that you can absorb. Now I stand here preaching. Can you hear me? Yes. Listen carefully. Swift to hear. Yes, ready to hear. And be attentive. God has given you this gift of hearing. Again, I say that's a gift. How sad it is when one has lost the hearing and become deaf. You live in a silent world. You hear nothing. God gives us good ears. Listen to what he says. But be slow to speak. Think before you speak. Do you? I'm sure we all do, mostly. But sometimes we don't. We must ask ourselves, before we speak, why do we speak? Of course, it comes automatic every day. Naturally, it just keeps on coming out. But sometimes, when you speak something more important, pause and think, what am I saying this for? What will be the purpose of my saying and the impact of the words on the hearers? Impact is very important. You must anticipate. How will the hearer respond when he hears what I say? Supposing I were the hearer and I hear what I've said and it comes to me, how will it impact me? These are things we all ought to think sometimes. Swift to hear, firstly, is the word of God. Hear it, receive it, for God's word is like lamp and light, direction, guidance, showing us what we ought to do. Swift to hear also applies to what others have to say to us. You agree? Yes. Must be always ready to hear. We have 2 years, listen to two sides. There is a dispute. There is a matter. There is an issue. Somebody comes to you. You listen to one side and say, man, right? You must be right. Most times you're wrong. Because in any dispute, there are two sides. So listen to the other side. Sometimes there are four sides. Listen all around. But you must ask for wisdom. Listen first. Swift to hear. Don't, because so-and-so has told me so much about the other person, I'm already completely agreed with this one, I condemn the other one. Then you make a mistake. Very fast. Right? Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Don't make a comment. Don't make a judgment right away. Easy to say, hard to do. Verse 22. Look at verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. After you hear what I've said today in this sermon, how to use your tongue wisely. If this sermon is effective and the Holy Spirit will bless it to your heart and you remember it, you must do it. It's no use to say, I can recite the verse. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know the verse. You can recite it. You remember it. But then you don't do. Then what does it say here? You deceive your own selves. Also learn to listen to what others say about you. This is something that doesn't happen very often because people like to talk about you behind your backs. But if somebody were to convey to you, say, I'm sorry, I got something not so nice to say about you that so-and-so says about you. Most of us shut off. They refuse to listen. Well, I say, listen, if necessary, with a pinch of salt, if necessary, but most important, with prayer. Why? Because it is very hard to receive something that is not nice about yourself being spoken by someone else. Very hard. You agree? Yes. We all like to be flattered. All of us. That's natural. We all like to say, oh, how wonderful a person you are. You say, that's right. How good you are. Yes. How clever. Everything is good. And you think it is so, but maybe it may not be so. So, swift to hear. Even though the thing said is about you and not complimentary, you say, never mind, speak on. And then what must you do? Pray. Ask the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom to appreciate what has been spoken to me. And if it is true, right? If it is true, help me to accept it and to change and to repent. And your Holy Spirit will help me to repent. Then you become a doer of the word and not just hearer only. You hear, say, oh, I don't like to hear it. I forget it. So, verse 19. Look at 19 again. This is the formula to successful speaking, right? Formula for successful speaking. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, don't rush in making your judgment, slow to wrath, don't get angry easily, for angry words cannot be the channel of God's blessing. Where does it say so? Verse 20, the very next verse. Oh, God's word is so marvelous. It just keeps on coming with more and more wonderful truth for us. Verse 20, for if you are angry, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You want to witness? You want to be a light for Jesus Christ? And you get angry easily? That ought not to be so. Should not lose temper. I had a little reminder. I wrote for myself, you see, because having fallen into this trap of losing temper, I wrote, it's not here, but you just see. I wrote here, lose temper, lose honor. And it kept me in my Bible. Whenever I go to special meetings where I might get agitated and irritated and might want to lose my temper, I quickly look at the thing and say, lose temper, lose honor. God help. It helps you, you know. You're reminded. Because to hear is so easy. To do is so difficult. But God wants us all to be doers of the word today that you've heard. God's word is so wonderful. If we will do what it says to do, it will be 10 times more wonderful. You know that? Problem is, we do not do. So, slow to wrath. How many here would like to resolve in this year of 1997, God help me not to lose my temper even once? Can you? That's good, isn't it? Lord, help me. Even though I ought to get angry, even though I should get very angry, lose my temper, help me not to. Because if I lose my temper and lose my cool, then I lose my witness and testimony. I lose it. So don't. Verse 22 again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Now, how are those who deceive themselves doing? How do they do it? Verses 23 to 26 is a very good instruction, manual for all of us to read constantly. Verse 23. This is the description of one who hears and does not do, and deceiving himself. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Pause here. These two verses describe an action all of us do once or more times a day. And without exception, I can say this in the morning. How many here came to church this morning without looking at himself in the glass? Anyone here? No one. Right? This is what it says. What did you look into the glass for? Did you look in to admire yourself? No. Because it's the same old face, getting worse only. What is there to admire? But I can tell you this, everyone looks at the face in the mirror every day. First thing in the morning, look, I look bad. I must improve my look, right? Then having looked in the glass, you do something. For me, it takes about 10 seconds. Ladies, 10 minutes. Some half an hour, 1 hour. They take a long, long time. They look in the glass and they improve their outlook. True? Now, application. When you come to church and you hear the Word of God comes to you like a mirror, right? You cannot know your own fault. How can I know what's on my face without the mirror? How can you know where you are at fault without the Word of God? This is the mirror. Now I give you the mirror. You look. You hear the preaching. That is the mirror. And the preaching tells you, you got a spot on your face. You got your hair falling the wrong way. And other things. And then you take action. Now this verse says, the one who hears the sermon and goes home and forgets everything and doesn't do anything about it is like the man who comes in the morning, looks at the glass in the face in the mirror, and goes to work without combing his hair, without washing his face, and nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Can it be? Can it be? And yet it is true. Of those who come to church, hear the sermon, and refuse to do, is exactly that. All right, this is the warning. Beware the idle word. For every word that we utter that is of no value, which is idle, mischievous, ill-meant, every word, the Lord says, will be taken into account on the day of judgment. I have made a resolution long years ago. Firstly, to refuse to listen to gossip. Right? Refuse to listen. If people are gossiping about other people, you either tell them stop or I walk away. Number two, never to gossip about other people. You do these two things, you will be on the way to be the perfect man that it says here, the perfect man. Right? Oh, dear friends, every idle word that men shall utter will be taken into account by God. You say, oh, really? How can God remember so many words that I spoke of so many people? You know, the government has got a tape on every one of us. Simply with a computer, every one of us got record in the supercomputer. Our Lord Jesus in heaven has got the most greatest supercomputer. And all that you think and say and do is computerized there. Yeah? You believe that? He made us to make computers. And he who made us to make computers, he can make the supercomputer. He is so powerful, our God is so wise and so great in his power, unsearchable in his wisdom. Don't you underestimate God. In the day to come, he'll take an account of all the backbiting, all the half-truths that people speak, all the exaggerations that people make out of nothing. All these one day will be paid back as though in the tape. Now listen, all right? All these things you ever said will be paid back to you. Supposing they are paid back to you today, and you have a scoreboard, all the gracious good words and all the rotten bad words, and you take an account, take a score. How will you fare? How will I fare? How many of those words I can say is gracious? All right, one mark here, gracious word. Edifying, that when the hearer hears it, say, ah, this man is good. He helped me with my spiritual life. Edifying, one point. Oh, he's a blessing to me. I felt so down. I didn't know what to do in my life. But he said something out of the word of God that helps me. One point. You are a blessing. Right? Somebody who's so agitated, going to get angry, to lose his temper, and you can calm him down with the word of God. One point. You've done something good. And you can multiply that many times. How many words you've spoken that goes to bless someone? Put it down. Is it glorifying to God? When he hears that word, will he say, yeah, I think your God is somebody I should know also. Put a point down. Score for yourself. Think back on your life. On the last week, all the words you ever spoke, and put them down. Now, on the other side, all the bad points. Idle words. You heard something like it, and you add some spice, and then you say it again. Becomes more dramatic. You know, people spice up the words and color them. Put there. This is idle word. And you see how many idle words you have said? Hasty words. Very hasty. Thoughtless. Words of anger. Oh, I feel so hot. I must say something. Put it down there. Thoughtless words. Provocative words. Evil words. Untrue words. Or true words spoken with a bad intention. Don't say, it's true, but, you know, if you say true things about people which is true, but with bad intention, put it there. It's all bad. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, be doers of that word, and not hearers only, because if you are that kind of a person, it says, you deceive your own self. Not someone else, but you deceive your own self. Now I will end this morning's service with 10 commandments of tongue control. Would you like to remember this? Number one, thou shalt speak more to God, less to man. First rule, first commandment. That's good. In the morning, make it your rule, I will not speak to any man before I speak to my God. Right? Number one. Commandment number one. I resolve in this year of 1997, by God's grace, I will speak more to the Lord, less to man. I think you make progress already. You agree? All right. That's commandment number one. Number two, thou shalt speak the truth in love. The truth in love. A child was asked, did you enjoy my dinner? Oh, it's the worst I've ever eaten. True? True. Because in her mind it's true. And she goes around and says, the worst meal I ever ate was in that house. That person cooked me the worst meal. And goes around and tell everybody. But it's not in love. It's true, not in love. Right? Number two, speak the truth in love. Number three, thou shalt be swift to hear what? Slow to speak and slow to wrath. Don't get angry easily. No good. It does your soul no good and does a hearer no good. So that's number three. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Number four, speak all to the glory of God. Whatever you say, even whatever you sing. You say, what's that got to do? I say, it's got to do a lot with your spiritual life. If you sing pop songs and rock songs about illicit things, about sinful things, about all kinds of crazy things, and keep on singing, it's like speaking, only add music, add spice, add color. There you are falling into a big trap. So, speak all to the glory of God, sing all to the glory of God, only to the glory of God. Number five, speak peaceable words. Peaceable. That it helps peace and not agitate, irritate people and create unrest. Never do that. Oh, there are some people who specialize in that. Oh, they're very good. And they just drop a word there, a hint there, and people get so angry with each other and break up friendships. No, don't ever do that. Five, speak peaceable words. Six, do not speak words of envying and strife. Envying and strife. Number six. Number seven. Do not speak idle words. Idle meaning mischievous, ill-intended, causing some kind of problem for somebody. Idle words. Number eight. Speak with meekness of wisdom. If you want to get all this, you read chapter 3 of James. It's all there. James chapter 3. Eight. Speak with meekness of wisdom, meaning to say, be very humble. Don't speak so loud, you know, so proud. I know everything. You know nothing. I just have the last word. Very proud. No. Meekness of wisdom. Be humble. Commandment number nine. Speak words of blessing that the hearer will say, my, he really is a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe in his Lord. I follow him. Words of blessing. Number 10. This is the crowning one. You know, the Lord said one day to the disciples, as you would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise. Now, apply that to this. Thou shalt speak of others what you like them to speak of you. That settles it, isn't it? All right, friends, we all have a wonderful gift. How do you use your tongue and your lips? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the word says, be swift to hear. Listen to the word of God. Listen to both sides of the story. Be circumspect and be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do all to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank Thee for the tongue. Thank Thee that Thou hast given us one tongue. Help us never to be double-tongued. Only speaking words of truth in love. To the glory of thy name. Bless this congregation
according to thy promise, that all who will look to thee shall receive the grace and the strength to use this great facility of speech to the glory of thy name. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.